straighten you out. It's my, not even my job to fix you. It's my job to help you. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And I don't know any other way to do it. I don't know any other way to do it. I don't know how to help people other than the Bible. Amen? And I know there's a lot of things going around, but I know this works. I've tried it. Leviticus 10:10. Now we're basically going to study both chapters, but I'm going to read a couple verses, so I want you to go home and read it after today. In verse 10 he says, "And that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean." He says, make a difference. There's a difference. Things that are different are not the same. I want y'all to hear that again. Things that are different are not the same. And God told them in their sacrifices, you make a difference between the clean and the unclean, and the holy and the unholy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, help me today. I really need it. A little bit anxious, things going on and people moving around. I pray you'd send your Holy Spirit to help us, put a holy hush on our hearts, Lord, and open our ears that we might hear, our eyes we might see, our heart that we might receive. And Lord, if there's one amongst us that know you, I pray today would be that happy day of salvation. And for those that love us that do know you, I pray today would be a day of the happy day of separation. And Lord, I pray you put a guard at my lips. And I wouldn't say anything I shouldn't, but give me liberty. In Jesus' name, I pray. In chapter 9, verse 6, and we're not going to read it, but I want you to go home and read it. In verse 6 in chapter 9, God said, this is how I want you to make an offering for the forgiveness of sins of the priest and the people. He gave them specific instructions on how to make offerings for sin. And then in verses 8 through 14, Aaron first offered a sin offering for himself because he was a sinner. So Aaron made the offering, first of all, for himself. And then verses 15 through 18, he offered a sin offering, a burnt offering, a grain offering, and a peace offering for the people just in case they'd sin. And we know they had. And all of these, every one of them, they symbolize an order that God has. And in this, there's an order in atonement and dedication and in substance and in communion with a holy God. There's an order. Just anybody can't worship God in any way. You just can't do that. God has requirements. He has ways that he specifically tells us to do this thing. And he told the children of Israel, here's how you're going to do it. First, the priest makes an offering for his sin because he was born a sinner. Before he can offer sins for other people, he's got to be right himself. Can you say amen? So he made his own sin offering. And then he said, now you and your sons and these others, you make all these other offerings for the people of Israel that I can bless their nation. And God gave them a specific way to do it. In chapter 9, look at verse 22. In verse 22, he said, and Aaron lifted up his hand toward the people and blessed them and came down from offering of the sin offering and the burnt offering and peace offerings. And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. Now Aaron and Moses, they held up their hands and they blessed all those people, and then they came down off of that altar that where they'd made the sacrifice, because they're not God, they just made the sacrifice. And then look at verse 24. And there came a fire from before the Lord and consumed upon the altar the burnt offering and the fat, which all the people saw, and they shouted and fell on their faces. Now that's the order. The priest had his sins forgiven, and then the priest, they made offerings for all the people, and then they came down and they blessed the people, and the fire of God came down. Fire of God came down. The holiness, that represents the holiness and the purity and the power of a holy God. He's not the old man upstairs. He's not Santa Claus. He's not some little old baby Jesus in a manger. He's a holy God. And they did it in the right way, and God accepted their sacrifice, and He blessed their sacrifice. And then in chapter 10, verse 1, I want you to notice this. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer. Now you know what a censer is? It holds those burning coals. And they took that censer, and they put fire therein, and they put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which He commanded them not. Did you notice that? Strange fire, which He commanded not. Now I want you to notice this. Aaron's sons, they tried to worship God in a different way than Aaron did. And they did it in a whole... They made it up. They just made it up. And they took fire. The only place that fire was to come from was from the altar of the Lord. It was supposed to be... It's holy fire. God started the fire. It's holy fire. But yet they said, I just don't agree with that old preacher, you know. I'm going to do it my way. And look what happened then. And they took that unholy fire, that strange fire, something not offered before. It came from a different place, done in a different way. He told them in chapter 6, verse 12 and 13 exactly how to do it. They were doing it in a different way. It was not commanded by God. Therefore, it was not condoned by God. Now, we live in a world where everything's changing. People change. Places, churches, what they call worship is changing. Constantly, every day, there's something new. There's a better way. There's another way. I can't use all the words they use anymore. But what it was, what they did, was a different way. It was strange. It was not. Now remember what I said? Things that are different are not the same. It was different. It was different. It wasn't what God commanded. Now the day we live in, what was called ugly is now called lovely. I saw a man the other day, he's got horns implanted in his skin. He's got a bone or something in his nose and tattoos all over his face. And they were talking to him on the news like, he's a Christian. Things that were holy are now called mean or bad or unholy. Things that what was wrong is now called right. What was truth is now called untruth. But God changes not. Would you remember that? God, Jesus said that, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't care if it's the 14th century or the 15th century or the 19th century or the 20th century or the 21st century. God changes not. He's the same yesterday and forever. Look, things that are different are not the same. And I don't care what anybody tells you. You say, well, preacher, what are you getting at? Hold on. If God wrote one book, how can we have over 100 English translations and say they're all the same book when they're different? Amen. Help me here. I'm talking about the old King James Bible. All the revivals of the world, the great revivals, all the great preachers of the world, all the great movements of this world, especially in this country, were started through this book right here. It's probably the book you got saved out of. They were talking about Billy Graham being the last great preacher of our century, and I don't know all about that, but I know this. This is the book he preached out of that all those people said they got saved from. Amen. All the great movements of God in America were out of this book. How can over 100 translations that all are different claim to be the same book? Amen. Amen. Hey, now listen, I'm not beating up your book. I'm just telling you, if things that are different are not the same, then how can it all be the same? If God established one faith, how can all denominations be right? And nobody wants to talk about that anymore. We have generic Christianity now. It don't matter what you believe, as long as you say you're Christian. No, everybody can't be right. Things that are different are not the same. And listen, there's a lot of people died for what we believe. They gave their lives. They gave their fortunes. They gave their families to stand on what we believe. I'm a Christian. But the world calls us Baptists simply because we do this right here and we believe in the eternal security of the believer and we won't baptize babies. They call us Baptists. Amen. Amen. Now, how can they all be the same? If one is right, somebody's got to be wrong. If there's only one Lord, how come there's so many professing believers who don't appear to know Him at all if we all claim to be one in Him? Y'all still with me? Things that are different are not the same. Now, I know everybody says they're a Christian. I know they do. You can't hardly find somebody in South Carolina that doesn't say they're a Christian. Very few. Very few. But I'll tell you what, there's more people at the river today, and there's more people at Walmart today, and there's more people shopping today and riding up to the mountains and down to the beach and everywhere else than there are in church in York County today. I'll tell you that. And my wife said, we'll have visitation on Sunday. That's when you'll find out who the real ones are. Go out on Sunday. Go out on Thursday night, knock on the door, you get to talk to them. Are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian, yeah. But what about if we went on Sunday? Amen. Amen. Things that are different are not the same. Now, the fire killed them. Look at verse 2. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died from before the Lord. They died. Now, that strange fire that they took off of a strange altar resulted in their death. And the same thing is true today. You take strange fire from some other God who you want to call Jesus Christ, He's really not. And in the end, it'll spiritually kill you. They now have Krishlam. Some of these big super churches, they invite Muslims to come to their church, and in order to get them, they invite their imam to come speak. And I'm going to go ahead and tell you, things that are different are not the same. It'll be a cold day where the booger man's going before a Muslim infidel stands behind my pulpit and talks about God. He has a different God than what I have. Things that are different are not the same, and I don't care how religious they are. Amen. Now, if you go by religion, sure. But if we're going by who the real God is, that's a different thing. And look, there's a lot of them doing it. There's a lot of them doing it. And here's what they say. Well, we need to be ecumenical. We need to get along with people. Did y'all... anybody read that sign out there when you come in? It said Baptist. This is a Baptist church. We're not non-denominational. We're not interdenominational. We're an independent answer to God alone through His Word, through His Holy Spirit. Fundamental. We believe the fundamentals of the faith. We ain't backing down or backing up or apologizing for any of them because things that are different are not the same. And so we don't need to back up and apologize for the way we believe. We don't need to do that. I want you to notice this. They took that strange fire off of a strange altar. They put it in their little canister, I'll call it. And they sprinkled some incense on it. And they went before the altar of God. And they altered a strange sacrifice from strange fire. And God was so unpleased with that, He sent fire down and killed them all. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. Look at verse 3. And Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. You know why? It was kinfolks that died. Go back and read it. Ten folks died because they offered strange fire. They were going to do it their way, like Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. Well, you'll fry with him if you do that, too. Let me tell you something. Moses looked at Aaron and he said, "You just don't say anything." God did that. And Aaron held his peace. Now, I want you to notice, God said, "I will be sanctified." Do you know what that means? I will be treated holy. God said, "I will be set apart differently than any other god, any other religion, any other sacrifices. I will be treated holy. You won't treat me with disrespect. You won't go against me. You won't rearrange what I said. You won't fix it the way you want to do it. I will be set apart. Only one. There is no other. There's nobody that you can worship other than me, and you're going to do it the way I said it, or you ain't going to do it at all." Amen. How many men you've met? And "Well, are you a Christian?" "Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian." I said, "Where do you go to church?" They said, "Oh, I worship God out on Lake Wiley fishing on Sunday." I said, "You worshiping fish?" God said, "I will be treated holy." Now, that means not common. Not common. Look, this thing's too big. Look, I'm going to break my neck. Listen, let me tell you something. God is not your good old buddy. And God is not the old man upstairs. And God's not your grandpa. You know, grandpa won't whip you. Amen? Well, this grandpa might. Listen, me and Jesus got a thing going. No, you don't. No, you don't. All these new little Christian songs on the little Christian radio, "Jesus is my boyfriend, la, la, la." He's not your boyfriend. He's not going to be treated like your stinking boyfriend. He's holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You won't treat him like you treat everybody else. Things that are different are not the same. He's not like everybody else. You come to him any other way, and you come in with strange fire. There are a lot of churches, if I went to them, they started singing that kind of junk and worshiping that, I'd get up and walk out. I'd just get up and walk out. I'd say, "Boy, this is lowering the holiness of God. This is lowering the sanctity of His name. I'm not going to bring Him down to my level. He's way above my level. He's not like me. Thank God He's not like us." Amen? He's not your boyfriend. The right ones were commanded not to mourn. These were kinfolks. Everybody in the priesthood was related to Aaron. Did y'all not know that? And God told Moses, Aaron's brother, Moses was really in charge. You know that, don't you? And he told Aaron, he said, "Don't you cry. Don't mourn. Don't show any mourning." You know why? That would be showing disrespect, dishonor, or disagreement with the judgment of a holy God. Amen. You say, "But it was his grandchildren. It was his, whatever. It doesn't make any difference who they were. It was who God is." Amen. The ones that were right were commanded not to mourn. The ones who were living right, the ones who were sacrificing right, the ones who were listening to God and obeying God, they were the ones who were denied the mourning of the passing of people that they loved, because it would have shown disrespect for the power and the judgment of a holy God. Whether y'all believe it or not, it's still true. The wage of sin is still death. And some people we love are going to die because of what they do. They're going to die. And there's sometimes we need to mourn, but there's other times we just need to show holy reverence for a holy God who did a holy work in somebody that was unholy, knowing what it was going to bring. They knew it was coming. You say, preacher, you mean. Not, hey, you've not seen nothing yet. You need to read your Bible. God's not one of these little nickel-nipping, penny-pinching, soft-soaping, ear-tickling, back-scratching, panty-waist preachers like we got in the pulpits now all over America. Hey, God's not like that. Amen? Jesus wasn't like that. Amen? Used to be in our country, we had some old-fashioned men with fire in their bones and in their preaching. They didn't care if you got mad or not. Amen? Look here. Look, verse 7. Look at verse 7. It says, chapter 10, and ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of congregation lest ye die. Amen. For the anointing of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. Listen, you know what God told them? He said, my power, my presence is on you. And those people out there, they don't understand what's going on. And you go out there mourning and weeping and all that stuff with them. And you know what you're doing? You're going to lose the anointing of God. And God's going to kill you because of how he just blessed you and how he worked through you. And now you're going to go out there with that crowd showing you agree with what happened and you sympathize with him. He said, don't you go out there. You stay right in this temple because the presence, the anointing of God is on you. You know, sometimes we have to separate ourselves from people we love and care about. We do. We have to. We have to separate. Look, if we're going to keep the blessings and the power and the presence of Holy God, there's some people that say they're Christians and they go to church and they practice things in their church or with their church or their own so-called faith, and sometimes we have to look at them and say, I'm just sorry, brother, I don't agree with that. I'm not coming to that. I'm not going to be a part of that. My presence would be okay in that. I'm not doing that. I'm afraid God will take his hand off of me if I go over there with that crowd making up stuff as we go along. And that's all it is. Well, who does that preacher think he is? Who does Abram think? Who does Moses think he is? They think they're the only ones that got the power of God. They think they're the only ones that God blesses the offering. And so, I tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to make up one ourselves. Things that are different are not the same. And you see where it ended. Look at verse 9 and 10. In verse 9, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when you go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy. In other words, I want you to be recognized as different so you can teach others difference.